Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about Piedmont by going to PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Very pleased to have with us today the 16th Circuit Solicitor, Mr. Kevin Brackett, who has been ably filling that position for the last 15 years, we said?
Yeah, my 15th year. That's right, Manny.
Just got elected by a landslide.
Yes, well, when you're unopposed, that happens. It is the only way to fly.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
So, Kevin, when we talk, I mean, every time I start these programs, I realize there's so many new people that have moved to York County,
yeah,
that they haven't the slightest idea even what the word solicitor means.
They think I'm a salesman. they point to the sign on the door. Didn't you see this? You're not supposed to be here. Go away.
I mean, other parts of the country, they would call you...
District attorney.
District attorney, exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just the nomenclature here in the South.
That's right, yeah.
You better explain to the newbies, yeah, what the 16th Circuit actually means.
Well, the 16th Circuit is York and Union counties. South Carolina is divided into 16 circuits, and the 16th was the last one added in the mid-60s. Back then, we had a senator who wanted to be a judge, but they didn't have any judgeships that were available. But he was a powerful senator on the Judiciary Committee, and he said, well, if we had a new circuit, then we'd need a new circuit judge, wouldn't we? And I said, yes, Senator, we would. So York was actually taken from the 6th Circuit, which is now Chester, Lancaster, and Fairfield counties. Back then, it also had York. And Union was taken from the 7th Circuit, which was Cherokee, Spartanburg, and Union. So he took one county from each of those two circuits, mushed them together. Voila, there was the 16th Circuit. And guess who the first judge was? The senator.
I bet it was.
Indeed. And I'm not complaining, though, of course, because if he hadn't done that, then we wouldn't need a 16th Circuit solicitor. So
these circuits, they're not driven at all by population. In other words, we just finished the 2020 census.
Yep.
The numbers will be coming out.
That's right.
It's not like we do with reapportionment. In other words, you're going to have Union and York County regardless of what their population
are.
That's
right. They don't readjust based on population. So we have some circuits that are much more populous than others. For example, Greenville and Pickens County, right, and Charleston and Berkeley. Greenville and Pickens are the 13th, and Charleston and Berkeley are the 9th. And they have a much greater population than, say, the 6th Circuit, Chester, Lancaster, and Fairfield, or the 4th or the 3rd. So it varies.
So when it comes to budgeting, you get dollars from both York County and Union County?
That's right.
Do you get money from the state at all?
I do. I get money from Union to operate the Union office, and from York, and then we get a certain amount of money from the state for the circuit based on population. And then there's also several streams of funding that come from fines and fees that are imposed, say, on traffic tickets or that sort of thing. So
right,
there's a little bit of money that's carved out, 1% or 2% of all fines on this, and then routed to pay for prosecution across the state.
So the two counties, your staff for the two counties is roughly how big?
Total right now of about 88, 89 people. I just say that because we have some part-time people. I don't know how you want to count.
Majority of those are here in York County?
Yes. Yeah, the vast majority of those are in York County. That's right.
So now you have got some recently expanded office facilities over at the Moss Justice Center.
And we could not be happier. Actually, Manning, this is the third office space that I've been in. When I started in 91, I was hired by then Solicitor Larry Grant, and we were in the old courthouse in downtown York. And I had a little office that I shared with one other attorney that wasn't much bigger than the space we're sitting in right now. Jane Modla, who is actually the city court judge over in Rock Hill, she and I shared a little office space over there. It was a very small space, and of course, York had started booming already. And so we hadn't kept up in terms of staff based on the number of people that were coming into York. So we moved to the Moss Justice Center in 93, which served our purposes well for about 7 to 10 years. And we rapidly outgrew that because it was really built based on unrealistic expectations of growth. We grew much more rapidly than people thought. So we ended up 2 years ago moving into the Moss Justice Center addition, which was completed, as well as there's a new family court, which we have offices there for our juvenile prosecution unit.
So now your space is okay?
Yes, we are in good shape in terms of space, and I think and hope that I planned that space well enough that it will serve the office for the next 25 to 30 years.
Really?
I hope.
Good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I hope. You know,
good
obviously
for you.
We could continue to boom at an outrageous rate, and you know, nobody knows what's going to happen, but I think we'll be all right.
Cuz I can remember before the renovation, you literally had people that were in closets.
Yes.
As
yes.
far as space, you were really cramped.
We had used every spare inch. We had rooms that were used for filing that were originally designated for filing that had two people in it.
Yeah.
We had closets that were storage closets that were converted to office space. We had one conference room left that we could use. Every other inch was used for personnel.
So that leads me up to say, we get the renovation all done at the Moss Justice Center and the expansion, and you move in, and then how many weeks were you able to stay there before, bingo, the virus hit?
Well, it wasn't long, and we were in there for a little bit, but it hit pretty shortly thereafter, and it was kind of ironic because we'd been looking for all this space, of course, and we'd been jammed in for so long. Then we move in, and it's, you know, like the Sound of Music, you know, dancing in the hills in the open spaces, and we've got so much room now, and it's just wonderful. And then all of a sudden, it's, we don't all need to be together in the same enclosed space. So everybody started, you know, the word of the day became, you know, social distance, get people apart, because the worst thing that could have happened to us was for one or two of us to get infected. We're all working in the same office together, sitting, you know, working together, interacting on a daily basis, and it sweeps through and the whole office gets sick. You know, that would have paralyzed us. So we had to take some pretty strict measures to try to keep people safe.
So did you physically close the office and send everybody to work at home?
No, we couldn't do that. We still have business to take care of. It's important that the courts keep running at some level at all times. So we're fortunate. About 7 years ago, I switched our case management system and the case management system is our database. That's
right.
Where all of our cases, all of our work is kept. It used to be that you couldn't access the case management system unless you were physically in the office. It was on a network and a server in the office. I switched to a new system that allowed for accessing it over the web.
Ah.
So you can be anywhere in the world. I could be sitting in the middle of, you know, Jakarta, Indonesia, and you could call me about a case. And if I can get to a computer, I can call it up and read the file. I can see the evidence in the case, read the reports and the witness statements, and see everything that's on there. Because all of our files are now scanned as well, and everything's digital. It's all in the cloud. So I can access it, which was an incredible advantage for us. Only a handful of offices have this newer type of system, and we're maybe the only one that actually uses digital files. So we were in a great spot in terms of being able to send people home with their laptops. They all have laptops. We got them double monitors. They took one monitor home. We had some old ones in storage, and we hacked together systems. So they all managed to go home, and they forward their desk phones to their cell phone, and it doesn't matter where you are. You can pull that stuff right up on your
So in your world today, when somebody is arrested and the paperwork trail starts, is everything just put in electronically into a computer and there's no longer a physical piece of paper?
And we pull that data straight through from the clerk's system. After the warrant is entered into the clerk's system, it comes straight up to ours electronically. The police reports and files are all put in electronically, and we pull those in and stick them in the right appropriate file. Even the body camera videos from the police departments are on Axion. They're a system that interfaces with our system, so we can pull those body camera videos directly off of our system and watch them from, again, anywhere in the world.
So is it fair to say you're basically paperless now?
Yes. Have been since 2000. Oh, it's been a while. 20 years.
So the old cases, which you from time to time have to refer back to for whatever reason, That paperwork has been stored, or have you digitized that as well?
We have all the stuff since we went paperless is online, and then I went back. It was a project we worked on for about 4 years. We finished a couple of years ago and back scanned everything from about 92 forward, and all of that is online now. So all of our files, everything is all available. So when you need to look at some career criminal and you want to look back at his old cases, which can be helpful because, you know, if you got two guys charged with something and they pretend they don't know each other, I could look back and say, but in 1997, you guys were arrested for, you know, knocking off a liquor store, and you both were arrested. How do you say you don't know this guy? Don't you remember getting arrested with him 20 years ago?
Now, take yourself back to 1992.
Yeah.
And you had to have that same scenario.
Yeah.
How long would it have taken you to figure out whether these people had been arrested before and what they had been arrested for versus now was just a few clicks?
It would have been impossible, Manny. We didn't even really have folders. Back in 1992, when I started, we worked out of the police folders. They carried them up and set them in our office, and we would photocopy those. We didn't have old folders that we could go back and look at, except in major homicide cases. So it's a sea change. You know, the last 30 years have just seen a revolution in terms of how our office is organized and how we manage it.
So basically what you're doing in the solicitor's office is being mirrored in the sheriff's office because you're duplicating their files or sharing files or whatever.
And I've told all our law enforcement agencies, if you're interested in a case you made back in the 90s and you can't find the file in your own system, come see me because I probably have it in mine.
I can't imagine what a time saver this must be. It must be incredible.
It is. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if I get a call from a victim and they want to know what's going on with their case, I don't have to track down the assistant solicitor who's got the case. I can just sit at my desk, pull the file up, and read their notes, read the file. I can look at the videos. I've had people do that, and I've said, oh, you're the one who was at the convenience store that was robbed. Yeah, I'm looking at the video now, the guy who came in and did this and that. And they're like, oh, my gosh, the solicitor knows my case. Yeah, that's all they're available to me.
So and keeping that system secured and not getting hacked has not been a problem?
We use Microsoft Azure servers, the same servers that the NSA uses to keep and agencies like the FBI and that sort of thing. So, yeah, they're CJIS compliant, which means they're Criminal Justice Information Systems compliant, which is a high level of security.
Yeah. Well, good for you. I had no idea that you all had progressed that far.
It's been a wonderful, and it's just tremendous. All those files, by the way, they're all OCR'd, which is optical character recognition. I can go back and search thousands of files for a single name to see if that name appears in any other files as a witness, as a victim. So it's a tremendous resource in terms of information.
You ever tried to figure out how much money you've saved just in buying paper?
I can't imagine. I really can't. But we had a whole section of the old jail that was used to house our old files. And all those files are gone now. They've been pulled, scanned, and shredded. So we don't... that's a savings, too.
That's amazing. Yeah. So while all that has been working very well, you had this thing enter your life called the pandemic, which certainly, as you just explained, you still kept functioning in the office. Other people were at their homes doing what they had to do.
Yep.
And all that works great, but you had a court system that had basically shut down. And your ability to go to court, I guess, had stopped for a long period of time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we were always able to go to court in some form or fashion. So right after the pandemic hit, all these regs started coming down and orders from the Chief Justice on how court was going to be run. And, you know, it was a huge issue, obviously, because nobody had ever lived through anything like this. There's no book you can open up and go, well, this is what you do. This is the playbook for a pandemic. Nobody had any idea. So, and we really had no idea how bad this thing was. What, you know, how deadly is this? How many people, you know, how bad could you get hurt? What's the likelihood of, so, you know, there's this fear that overlays the whole thing. So our first thought was, okay, well, we're not going to be doing jury trials because summoning a pool of people to come to the Moss Justice Center, sit together in a room, get picked in a group of 12 to sit in a jury box for 3 or 4 days.
Side by side.
That's not happening. So people, you know, we're not going to, nobody's going to sign up for that, and we're not even going to ask them. So jury trials have been shelved since March. We have not had a jury trial since March of last year. It's been a year now.
Well, explain this to me. With all this technology that we just spent some time talking about, why couldn't you field a jury and basically have them all Zoom together?
Have a virtual trial?
Yeah, there you go.
Virtual trial. Yeah, no, it works better in theory than it does in practice, and I can... We don't do jury trials, but we have done guilty pleas. And most people think, you know, they watch TV. They watch Law & Order, or they're older, and they might have grown up on Perry Mason reruns like me.
Watch it now. Watch it.
Yeah, well, I was right there with you. I was. And the average person thinks, well, every case goes to trial. No, it doesn't. Less than 1% of our cases go to trial. 99% of the cases are resolved by some other means, usually a guilty plea, or if we review a case and say the evidence isn't there, there is insufficient evidence, we'll dismiss it, or there's diversion programs. There's many other ways for cases to be disposed of. So most cases are not removed by a jury trial. So we were been able to do guilty pleas in court, and then in January, when the pandemic was at its worst, the Chief Justice shut courts down for all in-person business, and we were doing guilty pleas via WebEx, which is like Zoom.
But you know, when you think about a jury trial, I've been on a couple of juries in my time here in York County. There's a lot to be said as a juror sitting there and looking at the witness while the testimony is being given, and that's a lot different in a virtual setting. You can't do that too
well. No, and the virtual doesn't work as well because sometimes the audio drops out, and you just can't have a juror who might have missed, you know, even if it's a 5 or 10 second piece because his audio dropped because the connection was unstable and they didn't hear something. That thing that they didn't hear might be critical. And when you're talking about an event that could result in somebody being put in a cage for 10 years, it's important they hear everything. So that wasn't really an option to do jury trials virtually.
So with only 1% of the cases going to a jury, you were able to pretty much keep up with everything else during this pandemic and resolve things?
No, because the value of a jury trial is that's what motivates people to plead guilty.
Okay.
And if you don't have the threat of a jury trial, there's a lot of people that just aren't going to plead guilty. They're not going to plead guilty and go to prison when they're out on a bond and they're sitting at home watching TV. And then you say, hey, why don't you come on down to the courtroom and sign up for a 3-year bid down in the Department of Corrections? They're going to say, nah, I don't think so. Thank you very much. Only when you say, well, you can do that, or next week you're going to come down and we're going to put you on trial. And you could get much more time than 3 years. That's when they go, oh, that 3 years doesn't sound so bad. But when you don't have that option, a lot of people don't plead. So we've been able to do simple cases, mostly stuff that isn't going to result in people going to prison. So we've done a lot of, you know, probation type stuff and whatever we can pull together. And there's been a heavy emphasis on the jail. Obviously, you've got people in pretrial detention. You need to be able to move those cases. Our detention center only holds so many people. So you know, at some point you have to make hard decisions. There's only so many people that'll fit in there. You either take them to court or you got to let them out. So.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. We're going to come back and talk about what kind of impact this has had on the backlog of cases as we continue our discussion here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Straight Talk, of course, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it is pretty simple, and you're going to hear about it. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
Your healthcare can't wait. Piedmont Medical Center has a full-service ER ready to accommodate any healthcare need. This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Medical Director of the Emergency Department at Piedmont Medical Center. From trauma care to imaging and lab services, we offer high-quality care with board-certified physicians. Don't delay in an emergency. Count on us to be here for you 24/7, 365 days a year. Learn more about Piedmont Medical Center's emergency room and check in online at mypmc.com/ercheckin.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Hey, Charlie, what's new with Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. Kevin Brackett is with us. He is York and Union County's 16th solicitor. He is a 16th Circuit solicitor. We've had a very interesting conversation about the power of the Internet and digitizing the world and how that has really benefited his office, during this pandemic, because basically everything that they need to work is all in the computer, and they can just take that computer, as you say, to Bangladesh and do their work if they have to. So while all this is going on, people are still committing crimes.
Yes.
Paperwork needs to be processed. You had people inside the office who were shoveling, keeping your system up to date, because it could get behind very quickly.
Absolutely. So what we did was we didn't want everybody together in the office, because if it swept through the office, it could really put a hurting on us. So we had shifts, crews that would come in on shift. Paralegals that would come in and handle the paperwork, making sure that it was input into the system. We'd have attorneys in the office to provide legal advice to law enforcement and talk to people, answer legal questions as needed. So there was always attorneys manning the office or womaning the office. We have a great staff of lady attorneys, too, do a wonderful job. So we always had people there. Then when court would come up, when we have court scheduled, because we still did for guilty pleas and that sort of thing, we would have just two attorneys running court. The rest of the attorneys are home talking to defense attorneys and the public defenders and working cases up for disposition, getting them ready to plead. They would do all the paperwork online and then email them to the court and to the attorneys in our office who are actually going to be running court. So we have basically a feeder system. So all these folks are feeding it to the two attorneys who are in the courtroom actually running the pleas that day. Every day we would bring in two different attorneys so that we didn't, we were trying to avoid getting...
So people will understand, in any given month, your office is handling how many thousands of cases?
Well, we... let me put it to you this way. South Carolina measures cases by the number of warrants filed, and a warrant is one charge. Yeah. One incident could result in several charges. So you might break into a house, steal something, assault the homeowner, and then get in a high-speed chase with the police on your way, fleeing from the scene of the crime. That's going to be like four different charges, four different warrants. So that's one way to look at it. At the beginning of the pandemic in York County, we had about 4,900 warrants pending. That's 4,900 individual charges. Now, we bring in anywhere from 500 to 700 warrants a month. And typically, we are able to move 500 to 700 warrants a month. So that's success. If we can move as many are coming in, then we're keeping our head above water. Right. The trouble starts when you are bringing in more than you're moving. And starting in March of last year, that's exactly what happened. We basically, for the last 11 months, have moved about a little less than half of what we've brought in. We went from 5,000 warrants pending to now we have probably 7,800 warrants pending. So a little more than 50%, 53% increase in the number of warrants pending in York.
And that all goes back to the fact that we can't do the jury trials,
right,
and we can't settle the cases.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We have one judge holding court, you know, doing guilty pleas for a week. And
so let's wave the magic wand. Everybody's gotten their shots. We can do away with the silly masks. We can get together again in the office.
Yep.
You've got a crew of roughly 90 attorneys and support staff, what have you.
Yep.
How long do you think it would take your office to whittle 7,800 pending warrants down to whatever a normal, well, you say 4,800 is pending.
Yeah, well, and we shoot for, at the beginning of the pandemic, 84% of the cases in the county were less than a year old. So that's another way of looking at it. We try to move most of our cases, the vast majority, at least 80 to 85, 90% is better within a year. Because most people want, if you're a victim or a defendant, you want, you get your case in and out of court. You don't want it to linger for years. So now we're at 67% of our cases are under a year. So we've fallen back there as well. I think it's probably, I mean, if everything plays out just right and we're able to really work this hard and everybody's working together, maybe 18 months to 2 years. And that's going to require, like I said, a lot of hard work, and it's also going to require some really hard decisions because, you know, out of these 7,500, and when the thing ends, when that magic wand is waved, it might be 8,000-9,000 cases pending. We don't know. But some of those cases are going to have gotten so old that witnesses might be hard to find, and just the numbers, the sheer numbers that we're dealing with, we're going to have to make some hard decisions about what we can successfully go forward on. Just like you remember that old show on TV, MASH,
The
Choppers Land, and Hawkeye and Trapper ran through, and they'd go, you know, this one, get him into surgery right now, this one can wait, and this one you need to call, you know, Father Mulcahy, because he ain't going to make it. There's nothing we can do to help him. Now, maybe if he was at Boston General and he appeared there right then, they might could save him. But where they were, the effort they spent trying to save him, four other ones are going to die. So they had just made, that's called triage. They just had to make the call on that one guy. So that's kind of like, we might be doing a little bit of that too, trying to figure out what can be saved and what can't. And it's going to be hard.
I wonder,
because we're not used to operating like that. We like to try to get to every case and get a, you know, some justice for every single one of them. But we're going to be dealing with some really, really ugly numbers.
You know, I was telling you before going on the air about this survey or study that came out from the American Psychological Society, which basically said half of America is really apprehensive about getting back into their normal workplace, whether it be at work or at school, and getting into interpersonal relationships and what have you. Now, I say, you know, suck it up, America. That's crazy. Let's get back to normal.
Yeah.
But from your perspective, I could see people like defendants saying, you know what, I'm uncomfortable about coming back and talking to you about this thing, and I just need to delay this a little bit more.
Well, I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of luck convincing the judge that they don't have to come to court. They got to come to court. You get a subpoena and you're a witness, you got to come to court. You get a call from a jury notice, you got to come to court. And you're a defendant and you don't come to court, the sheriff's looking for you. So,
well, you hit the nail on the head. I think it's going to be summertime, maybe early fall, before we really start to get a sense of normality.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting their shots, more vaccines becoming available. Yeah. But it's not going to disappear overnight. This is not Texas. It's not Mississippi.
No.
You know, I think we're going to be a little more cautious. Kevin, thank you for being on the show.
Always
a pleasure to have you
thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're a veritable font of information.
Well, I don't know. I thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to you.
Very interesting.
Any chance I get, I'm happy to be here.
Kevin Brackett, our 16th Circuit Solicitor, our guest this afternoon on our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. We want everybody to bellow out how it's done now at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.